everybody in the world says you have to forgive. Some people say you need to forgive and forget. Okay. I have a problem with this. First of all, there might be a magical unicorn human being on the planet someplace that can forget things. I am not one of them. And nobody teaches you how. I'll forgive, but what if I don't want to? So everybody who's listening right now is thinking on a 10 scale, with 10 being unforgivable dumpster fire and 1 being a really easy person to forgive. Every single person listening to this broadcast is thinking of their number 10 dumpster fire, and that's why nobody wants to talk about it, and that's why nobody wants to forgive.
This is Mindset Reinvented. As Mahatma Gandhi once said, the weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. And today, I'm thrilled to introduce our guest, Catherine Giovanni. Catherine is a 3-time award-winning best-selling author and speaker. She's renowned for her profound work on forgiveness. And her latest book, The Ultimate Path to Forgiveness, Unlocking Your Power, offers a unique approach to healing and transformation. Catherine's journey from surviving stage 3 breast cancer has shaped her understanding of resilience and forgiveness. So today we're going to dive into her insights and practical strategies for embracing forgiveness in our lives. And Catherine, I am thrilled that you're here today. Forgiveness is a topic that many of us don't talk about. It's uncomfortable for a lot of people. But today we're going to flip the narrative. So welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You betcha. You betcha. So Catherine, your journey from overcoming stage 3 breast cancer to becoming a best-selling author is nothing short of inspiring. Can you share how this experience influenced your perspective on forgiveness?
Well, I think the whole thing started when my mother died in 1990. And when she died, it was kind of the flashpoint for me. And I kind of went into that deep, dark hole of mourning, like a lot of us did. And so I realized, because I'm very intuitive, that if I didn't change my life, I was actually going to die too. And I was a very angry person back then. I was in my 20s. And so I quit drinking. It was the only New Year's resolution I actually ever kept. Been sober for 34 years. And in those programs, they teach you to make amends. So I did. I'm also an extroverted introvert. So reaching out to people and talking to them wasn't really my thing. Everybody in the world says you have to forgive. Some people say you need to forgive and forget. Okay. I have a problem with this. First of all, there might be a magical unicorn human being on the planet someplace that can forget things. I am not one of them. And nobody teaches you how. I'll forgive, but what if I don't want to? So everybody who's listening right now is thinking on a 10 scale, with 10 being unforgivable dumpster fire and 1 being a really easy person to forgive. Every single person listening to this broadcast is thinking of their number 10 dumpster fire. And that's why nobody wants to talk about it. And that's why nobody wants to forgive. But it's also, in my world, I want you to forgive people, places, and things. So how did I get through cancer? I got through with a positive mindset. And I got through because I forgave everything. I forgave the cancer. I forgave the chemo. I was sick for 4 years. I forgave everything. You can forgive anything.
You can. But how did you come to that realization in your mind and in your heart that you were going to forgive it? Something had to happen inside of you that made that switch. What was it?
I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was a miserable kid. I was bullied in school. I even forgave 1974. Why did I forgive 1974? It was a horrible year. My parents got divorced. They were both pretty pickled. They both were alcoholics. I was bullied in school and I tried to commit suicide. So I turned into one of those teenagers. You know the teenagers I'm talking about. They have one friend and they kind of just float through school. But when my mother died, everything just kind of changed for me. And I always thought there was something more out there. And as I started to forgive, I actually started to feel physically better. And I started to notice more things. And the forgiveness simply means It doesn't mean they were correct, because they weren't. Forgiveness does not mean I want a relationship with you, because I probably don't. And it means, forgiveness means I want you out of my head. Bottom line, that's what it means. I want you out of my head. And when you're in my head and I'm looking at something, and I'm looking at that memory, I don't want an emotional charge attached to it. I don't want to think good thoughts or bad thoughts. I want zero emotional charge. That's how you know you've forgiven people. And as I, you know, I can even give you an example. If you're listening to this broadcast, I'm about to hold a very opaque cup in front of my face. This is anger. It could also be fear. It could be resentment. But look at my body language. Easy to hold off to the side. You and I can have an absolute brilliant conversation. We can go out to dinner. I can go to work. I can do all sorts of things. I can handle my anger and resentment. It's easy. No, I'm not angry. I can easily stuff this to the back of my mind. But the longer I hold on to it, the more it's going to start hurting me. And eventually, it's all I can see. Now I'm holding the glass right in front of my face, and both hands are holding the glass. Look at my body language. I can't see my dream significant other who just walked by. I can't see my new job that I really want to get. So forgiveness is going to allow you to move the anger out of your energy field so you can see the opportunities, so you can see things in your path. And you couldn't see them before because you were too angry.
I have this visualization in my mind that when you do forgive and you take that negative energy, that feeling of anxiety or stress that's in your body about whatever it is that you're obsessing on, mm-hmm. when you're able to release it, I would imagine it felt for you kind of like if there was a balloon in front of you and you took a pin and you pricked it and all that air started to dissipate out of the balloon. Would you
exactly
say that
right.
would be consistent?
My older son does this because I've taught both my sons to do this. And my older son says he feels his shoulders are always lighter. And I've had a lot of other people say they've been very sleepy. I usually feel pressure in my solar plexus, which is right above my stomach. And I usually feel kind of a relief. Everybody on the planet will have a physical sensation when you start forgiving. But using my method in the book, please, with all my heart and soul, do not start with the number 10s. You can leave them for last. Start with the number 1s. The person who took your parking space at the grocery store. The person who stole your lunch at the office. I hope you could forgive that person. Come on now. You know, the easy, easy ones. Start with them. And as you forgive the really stupid, easy ones, eventually you'll be able to forgive the hard ones because you'll be more prepared for it. And if you can't forgive the hard one, here's what you do. Forgive yourself for not being able to forgive. They're just enough to move the energy. Forgive yourself because I can't forgive this person. So you can't forgive the bully in school. Okay, then why don't you forgive in that memory, pick it apart. Forgive the people who stood around and didn't do anything. Forgive the school. Forgive the playground. And why am I telling you to forgive the school and the playground? I have a whole chapter on science for the people who are not believing me, not believing what I'm saying. Einstein proved that energy is neither created nor destroyed. It just transforms. So when you get angry, everybody on the planet thinks that it leaves your mouth and it dissipates within to the clouds. Sadly, it does not. It sticks around in your energy field, which is why if I hold my little glass of anger in front of me, this is what happens. It's a very dark energy, and forgiveness is going to transmute it. So the special sauce to my whole method is you need to forgive the energy. I'll forgive you and the energy around you. I'll forgive myself and the energy around myself.
Okay. This is a phenomenal conversation because, again, this is something that a lot of people don't talk about. I want to go back for a moment here because one of the biggest challenges when people listen is, okay, this sounds good on paper in theory, but how in the world do you do this? So I want to go back because in your book, The Ultimate Path to Forgiveness, you present a unique forgiveness process and several process. So can you outline the key steps involved in this process so it kind of gels for people and it makes sense to them in terms of how they can do it?
I want you to sit down in a quiet room. I want you to turn your technology off. There's an off button on your phone. I said that to somebody a couple of weeks ago and they visibly twitched in front of me. It was really entertaining. So if you just can't bring yourself to turn it off, turn the volume off. I don't care what you do. I just don't want you to do anything for like 20 minutes. Tell the dogs, the kids, everybody, leave you alone for 20 minutes. And then I want you to get an old-fashioned piece of paper and a pen. And if that's making you twitch, okay, get your laptop out. I really don't care. But there's something about writing it down old-fashioned way that actually is very powerful. So I want you to write a list of people you think you need to forgive. And you're probably thinking of three people right now as you're listening to this. So I want you to write, you can write as many as you want. And then I want you to rate them from 1 to 10, with 10 being ugly, unforgivable dumpster fire. You could have 5 number 6s. It doesn't matter to me. Just rate everything. And then I want you to sit in the middle of your bed and look at that first person. And I want you to think about the memory. And then I want you to put your hand on your heart. And because it's a number one energy person, it'll be really easy to forgive them. And you may not even remember what you were mad about. So you'll say, okay, I can easily forgive this person. And you could imagine them in your mind standing in front of you. So put your hand on your heart and say, I forgive Tom. I forgive the energy around Tom. I forgive myself for anything I may or may not have done. I forgive the energy around myself. I forgive the energy around the whole thing, and so be it. There's nothing you have to burn, no incense, no crystals, unless, of course, you want to. I'm a very simple soul. And once you've done that, I want you to check into your body. What emotion are you feeling or not feeling? If you're feeling zero emotion, put a check mark by their name and go on to the next person.
Well, I was going to say, so for the people where there's a lot of deeply rooted resentment involved,
yep,
that it's not going to be a one and done exercise. It'll take some
time. Like an onion, because if you've got, and usually the deeply rooted resentment is around a member of your family, because in my experience, it's usually something in your childhood and it's something your parents or your siblings did to you. So it's like an onion, and you're going to forgive that first layer and come to me and say it didn't work. Oh, yeah, it actually did work. And you removed that first layer, but there might be 10 more layers and memories. More memories are going to come up that you're going to have to forgive. So you're going to have to chip away at those higher numbers, the 8s, the 9s, the 10s. You're not going to get a 10 down to a 1 in one sitting, because you're just not. It's going to take a couple tries. And I really want you to wait 24 hours between each session.
Yeah, smart. Yeah, and really, it boils down to doing the work. It's having enough of what it is that you're experiencing in your heart, in your mind, the people around you. It's saying, okay, I've had enough. I don't like this anymore. I want to change. So that's the stimulus that's going to require the action in doing the work. You've got to look at it. And I always say, look at it with a magnifying glass. We have to understand how we feel and the way that we feel towards others, because if we don't, then the quality of our lives are going to diminish. Now, you talked earlier about something, you're very passionate about it. So it's forgiving people, but it's also forgiving situations.
Yep.
And especially with your battle with cancer. So
yep.
Give us some color around when you started forgiving. How did that impact your own healing? And then most importantly, your outlook on life. You're an author, you're accomplished in what you do. So there's a connection there.
Let me take it back to bullies, because I think everybody can identify with bullies in school. And if you weren't bullied, you knew somebody who was. And let's say, for example, for the sake of argument, you live near your old school and you have to drive by it every day to get to work. And every day when you're at that red stoplight, you look to your left, you see the school, and the memories hit your head. So by the time you get to the work, if you don't squash them and put them back in the back of your mind, you're probably not in a very good mood, because you replay it. Over, they're living rent-free in your head. So forgiving the building and the energy around the building and the playground and the swing set and your desk and the teacher that was there that didn't do anything is going to remove that electric emotional charge within your brain. So the next time you drive to work, you're probably not even going to notice it, because you'll be listening to music or you'll be talking on the phone and you'll realize, wow, I drove by that building and it didn't affect me at all. That's the golden moment. That's what I'm looking for. And that's what happened with cancer. I can look back at my dysfunctional family. I can look back at my childhood. I can look back at my cancer journey when I was sick, and it has no emotional charge for me anymore. I can spin the stories funny, and I can dredge it all up if you want me to, but I don't, because I look at the love that was there. Why didn't I see the love that was there before? Because I was too angry. I was one of those kids. I was an angry kid, but I see the love that was there. And I'm remembering memories that I didn't know were there. So you're kind of, I'm asking you to go back to a dark place one more time, because I want you to flip the energy from bitter to love. And that's going to change how you feel today. You're going to notice more things. You're going to probably get more friends. You might get a raise. You might find a new way to lose weight. There's a reason to buy the book. You might lose weight. There you go. So, and you also, if you have a very strange relationship with money, this is the first book of three. And in the next book, I'm going to talk about forgiving money, which is simply a form of energy.
Yeah. Well, I love this topic, because forgiveness, it has to start with us. We have to forgive us. We have to forgive the decisions that we've made, the mistakes that we've made, the people that we might have hurt in the past. It all starts with us.
Yes.
Before we can forgive any situation and or another person. It has to come from us. And I think, again, it just boils down to understanding what it is, these emotions and the feelings that we're having, the thoughts that we're having. If we're numb to it all, we're never going to be in a position where we can forgive anybody.
And anybody who's gone through cancer knows that when you have dinner with the Grim Reaper and you don't go home with the guy, it changes you. So forgiving all of the players in there, forgiving the doctors and the chemo chair. I actually wrote a book while I was in chemo in the chair, because I was bored, because of course I did. Yeah, I'm a little bit of an overachiever. But, you know, you forgive all of those players. Now, just a word of warning that I have to give, just a minor little PSA. When I first discovered this method with my friends in 2020, I got very excited and I thought, this is going to be great. It's going to be fabulous. I'm going to write my list. There's going to be 50, 60. I'm going to get rid of it. It's going to be like ripping off a Band-Aid, and I'm going to be better tomorrow and everything's going to be rosy. It didn't exactly work that way, because I spent the next 3 days in bed with what everybody thought was a stomach flu. It was not the stomach flu. It was my body trying to transmute all the energy that it was trying to detox from. Now, is there science behind this? Yes, there is. You can look this up on the internet. The pictures are really wild. A Japanese researcher studied water. I think his name was Masumoto. And if you just type that in, you'll find the pictures. And I'll dumb this down. He took two containers of water. One he spoke love to, beautiful things, treated it well. The other container of water, he spewed hate and negativity, treated it horribly, put it under a microscope. The water he treated horribly turned into these black and brown formations, ugly things. And the water he treated with love were these beautiful white crystal formations that were absolutely stunning. So why am I telling you this? Your body is mostly water. I think I heard 90, 94, 98. I hear all sorts of different percentages. So when you have negative self-talk and you're angry and you're carrying around all that hate and resentment and bitterness, what do you think it's doing to the cells in your body? This is why when every doctor says anger is toxic and it's going to make you sick, this is how.
Catherine, that's a truth bomb right there.
Yeah, it is. When I figured it out, I almost fell out of my chair.
I mean, anybody listening to this can understand the visualization that represents.
Yeah.
And then tying that into the cells in the body, because as we know, that creates disease. It creates a toxic environment in the body because, like you said, we're mostly water.
It's an old study, but it's right. You can Google Japanese water study, and I think his name is Masumoto. I think the link is right in my book, the back of the book. But the pictures are absolutely fascinating, because who would think water has a little bit of a consciousness? Now, you know, plants do. They did the same thing with plants in the United Arab Emirates. And they took two plants and they did it for, I think, Anti-Bullying Day in Dubai. And they took one plant and told the kids, say nice things to it, and gave them a microphone and that. And they gave the other plant, say nasty things. And they were in the exact same environment. It was not scientific at all. But the plant that got love thrived. The plant that didn't get love almost died. I have a plant in my house we call Grandpa. I think we've had him for almost 32 years.
A real plant with water and
food. Real honest to God plant. Love. I'm going to cry when he dies finally. I'm going to have to cry over a plant. Yeah, 32 years.
I love that.
He's probably going to pass soon because he's old.
Yeah, of course. Everything has a shelf life, but you're right. And love is the language of health and wellness. And
yeah.
And anything that's angry or resentful and mad and all of that kind of stuff, it doesn't bode well for the long run for people that you're angry at, and also, most importantly, your own health.
Well, don't you want these people out of your head? Wouldn't you? I ask people all the time, and it really makes me sad. I say, what brings you joy? And 8 out of 10 people can't tell me that. They tell me things that make them momentarily happy, like a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, but that's not joy. Joy is like permanent, and nobody really can answer the question. And that's because they're all hiding behind all of this anger. So if you really want joy and you really want to increase your finances and you want a good relationship and you want to be healthy, this is the path.
And I think that's crucially important. You talk about something that's interesting as well, the role of intuition in both personal and professional life. So how does intuition intersect with the art of forgiveness?
Okay. This requires a little brain stretching. It will be painless, I promise. Everybody on the planet is intuitive. Everybody. I don't use the word psychic. I have a real hatred for that word, because when you think of psychic, you think of a car salesman, no disrespect to anybody selling cars, and a crystal ball, and I'm going to take your money. Everybody thinks that. You must be a charlatan. Society has this crazy habit. I even have this on my bio. It has this crazy habit of slapping the "you're crazy" as a bedbug sticker on anybody who shows a smidgen of intuition. Imagine if everybody on the planet and all these Fortune 500 companies were allowed to show their intuition. Imagine the things that they could accomplish. So everybody on the planet hears that little bird on their shoulder different. You either see it, hear it, feel it, or you just know it. And it's, you know, or you're an empath, which means you can go into a room and it just feels off. Or you're interviewing somebody and you shake their hand and just something just feels to the right of center. They're dressed perfectly. Their resume looks great. They sound right. They're answering the questions brilliantly. But something, you can't pin it. It just feels wrong. So trust it and hire somebody else. That's the little bird in your shoulder. Now, the little bird in my shoulder has saved my life 3 times, not that I'm counting. And I've been violently allergic to exercise most of my life. I'm working on it. And in 2011, the little bird in my shoulder, my intuition started singing, because I hear words and sentences in my head, which is why I didn't tell anybody about it, because I didn't want them to put me in the funny farm in the straitjacket. So I just kept it all to myself for years, didn't say anything. But I couldn't get it out of my head. It kept saying, you need to take up running. You need to take up running. So finally, just to shut it up, to be quite honest, I took up the Couch to 5K running program, which worked very well. Ran a 5K. Okay, I sort of ran the 5K, but I did finish it. I walked most of it, but I tried. And as I was working out, I went from a size 14 down to an 8. I knew the weight was coming off too quick. And sure enough, it was stage 3 breast cancer. And if the surgeon told me, if I hadn't taken up running, and I hadn't lost all that weight, I would be dead, because it was in a very strange location and the tests all missed it, every single one. So I'd be dead. So really, you know, you can hear your intuition. You might feel something. You might see something in your mind. You might just know something all of a sudden. Trust those feelings. Men call it their gut. Women call it their intuition. Trust your gut when it's telling you something. Don't ignore it.
Yeah, but you know, I think there's that battle between intuition and the cerebral mind.
Yep, exactly.
And, right. So you say, okay, you're feeling a certain way, that gut feeling that you have, and then your logic kicks in and tells you why your gut feeling may be suspect. Now you've got this push-pull kind of thing going on between the two. How does one reconcile? Do they always default to the gut, or do they allow the cerebral part of this to take front and center?
I tell everybody to try some guided writing when you think you're, am I hearing this correctly or feeling this correctly, or am I making it up because it's the answer I want? So sit in a quiet place, just like you're going to do my forgiveness exercise, and turn off or turn down your technology. And whatever floats into your head, I want you to write it down blind. I don't want you to think about it. You could see a vision in your head, write down what the vision is down on your paper. You could smell something, write down what you smell. You could hear some words, write down what you hear. And if you're not hearing anything except a shopping list, write down the shopping list, because there's probably going to be a message within the shopping list because you're focused on something else. It's going to say milk, bread, eggs, go to the party, tea, what? So, you know, pay attention, and, you know, you can ask for assistance and the assistance will come. But usually that voice is a small, tiny little voice. It's not going to tell you you're going to get hit by a bus at Tuesday at 2 o'clock. May tell you to stay home Tuesday. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. And as I sit and reflect on the conversation and the things that you're sharing, this is wisdom that you're sharing with us. The art of forgiveness is a super powerful tool to begin with, but also in the workplace. And I would say that leaders can really learn a thing or two about forgiving employees and subordinates. So what's your thoughts on how leaders can use forgiveness to enhance collaboration, to enhance creativity in the workplace?
Imagine how forgiveness can enhance everything, because you're not going to be angry anymore. So that energy is going to be going through your company, and people are going to come up with those creative ideas, and you're going to be able to look at your competitors with a completely different light. Let me tell you a story. This is actually a very true story. It might stretch your brain a little bit. I decided to forgive a level one friend of mine from my childhood. This is true. And so I sat down and I forgave them using my very simple little mantra, put my hand in my heart, the whole thing. And because I went to school with her and it's been so many years, I couldn't even remember what we fought about anyway. So she was really easy to forgive. I hadn't talked to this person in like 30 years. 2 hours later, she calls me up on the phone, almost passed out. So we did all the things. We forgave each other. We had the lovely conversation. Now we're friends again. But I am a very curious little bear. And I said, after all these years, why did you choose to call me today? She said it was the damnedest thing. You know, 2 hours ago, which was when I was saying my mantra, a figurine you gave me in school flew off my shelf. And I looked at it and I noticed it and I thought I should give you a call. So if forgiveness has the power to do that to a level one person, can you imagine what it would do to a level 10 in your personal life? Can you imagine what that might do to your company? The energy that Einstein correctly identified is going to turn from that dark energy to a lighter energy, and everybody's going to want to work with you because you're warm, you're friendly, you're approachable, and you're happy. It's going to change the paradigm in your company.
100%. Oh, it has such far-reaching effects when you're forgiving. And you know, all roads lead back to us. Again, I said this earlier in the podcast. I think you agree with me.
I do.
That we have to forgive ourselves first before we can forgive another human being, an event, a place, or anything. What's one thing that someone can do today, right now, to start forgiving themselves for mistakes that they feel like they've made in their lives?
Forgive yourself for not being able to forgive yourself. That is a really great place to start, especially if you are your own number 10. If you think you've done things that are unforgivable, it's going to be very hard to get to that sweet spot in the middle where you can forgive yourself. So give yourself some credit, give yourself some love. And the trick is every morning where we wake up and it's a brand new day. So the person you were is not the person you are today. So forgive that person who you had to become in order to survive. Forgive that person.
Put your hand
on your heart and forgive yourself. Forgive the Catherine in 1970. Forgive the Jack in 1987. Whatever it is, forgive that person, because you see, I forgave my parents, and it was very hard to forgive my parents. And I'm not a very particularly religious person, but there is one passage in the Bible that got me to forgiveness, and a little bit of Simone Biles' mental gymnastics mushed in there as well. Jesus is nailed up on the cross. You know, he's probably in tons of pain, and he says, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." So what does he mean by that? He means that if you're in the fifth grade and you don't know trigonometry, I can't get mad at you because you haven't learned it yet. So I can't get angry at that. So my parents did the best they could with the tools they had at the time. I can't get mad at that. I can forgive them. Did they do enough? No, they didn't, but they did the best they could. So the me in, let's say, 1979 or 2005, I did the best that I could with the tools I had back then. And you can forgive that version of yourself.
Oh, yeah. Amen to that. Amen to that. I had a guest, Natalie Jordy, on the show, and she talked exactly about that. Parents, they're not at fault. They did what they needed to do. They did it with what they were working with at the time. So to have resentment or anger towards our parents is never a good thing.
No, it's not.
Because again, they provided shelter. They provided food and love. Well, perfect? No, I don't think anybody's upbringing could be perfect, picture perfect. They're human beings just like the rest of us. So forgiveness is so incredibly important. I absolutely love, 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 love this topic of conversation with you. What are you most excited about moving forward? Any upcoming projects or initiatives that are related to forgiveness and personal growth? I mean, you've got so much going on as it is right now, but I'm sure you've got something on the horizon that is brewing for you now. Is there anything going on?
This is the first of three books. So the next book is going to deal more with how to forgive things like money, inanimate objects. It's also going to dive into forgiving yourself and how you really pick apart and forgive your number 10s. And we also have a workshop called the How Workshop. It's in Vero Beach in September, but we're going to probably take that around the country, which talks about intuition and forgiveness.
Oh, I love it. Tell our friends of the show how they can track you down, follow you, read your books. What's the best way for them to connect with you?
They can go to my website, and my first name, thanks to my mother, is spelled a little bit strangely. Thanks, Mom. KATHARINEGiovanni.com. And if you go to Amazon, I do understand that some people don't enjoy reading. So the audiobook is also available on Amazon, the audiobook, the ebook, and the paperback.
You have a very Irish last name. You know that, right?
I am Italian by choice.
I know. I am as well. And the longstanding joke for me is especially if I find myself at a hospital, the nurses have a field day with my name. They say, trauma? Come on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's right.
There's no you in that. But anyway, Catherine Giovanni, it's a pleasure to have you here. You share an incredible amount of wisdom on something that we all can do a better job with in our lives. And I want to thank you for sharing your insights with us. We're a little out of time, but I would love to invite you back on the show another time where we can do a deeper dive, get your message out. And really, it's about just reaching people that need to hear what we're sharing. And if you're open to that, I'd be delighted to bring
it. It would be my pleasure. I'd be happy to.
Yeah,
just let me know when.
Absolutely. We'll put it back on the calendar. And to everybody else that's listening here, I just want you to know that if there's anything that you heard today that Catherine shared and you think that maybe somebody could benefit from it, that there's value here, please, please, please pay it forward. Take our show, share it with, and even if you don't know if somebody needs it or not, because that's the magic about life. We don't know what people are struggling with in their lives.
No.
And it's incredibly important that if you get something out of this, to share it with others. And that would mean a lot to us for you to do. Also, if you haven't been on our email list, please visit mindsetreinvented.com, exchange your email address. And what we'll do is we'll keep you in the loop, not only for future episodes, but some really juicy behind the scenes content that we haven't released. And you'd be the first to be a part of that. So in closing, thank you again for being here with us today. And with that, everybody, live your best life. And remember, forgive. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. And remember that balloon analogy. You pop that bad boy, and you're going to start feeling a relief in your life. Thank you, everyone.